Well, let's take our Bibles and open to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 13. If you have your place in the Scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning, beginning in verse 13, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Verse 19, Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them to David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. Verse 23, And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of being in your house today. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you would meet with us. Father, we already sense your presence today, but God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Father, they don't need to hear Rod Black. They need to hear from Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you would give them what they need to hear. Father, give me the words that I need to say. And Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in the moments remaining this morning. Lord, I pray that you just touch each and every heart. Lord, there could be someone here that's never been saved. I pray this be the day of their salvation. But Father, our hearts are concerned about revival today. Now, Lord, as we enter this revival, Lord, we realize that we do need revival. God, I need revival. I pray you'd work in my heart and challenge me, Lord, along with these folks. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless, and we need you, Lord. We depend upon you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That last verse, let's look at that again, verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit departed from him. The title of the message this morning, Refreshed or Revived? Refreshed or Revived? I'm going to lay a foundation here this morning. We'll spend a little bit of time going over some things to kind of get us to the point in that we need to be for the message. So you kind of bear with me a little bit. We'll go back to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 1, we notice that God calls Saul to be the king. Samuel said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the words of the Lord. So the Lord is appointed by God to be the king. God has a plan for Saul's life, and then Saul gets orders from the Lord. Here in verse 2, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. All right, so he receives orders from God. He is called to be the king. God's working in Saul's life. Says, Saul, I want you to be the king. And now as a servant of God, and Saul was a servant for the Lord, he receives orders from God. This is what I want you to do. Now, notice in the verses following there, verse 7, Saul is disobedient to the Lord. As Saul smote the Amalekites, from Havilah until thou comest to Shur that is over against Egypt. So far, so good, right? Verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. So he disobeyed the Lord. He didn't destroy everything. He was supposed to utterly destroy Amalek. He spared the king, and some of the sheep, and all. Well, Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, and be sure your sin will find you out. The Lord knows what's going on in our lives, and you know, it's like they used to say, chickens are going to come home to roost, you know. So his sin is found out down in verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. Behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. God knows exactly where we're at, folks. You can't hide from God. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now it's not enough that he disobeyed the Lord, but now he's lying about it. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the amount. They, you notice that? Wasn't me that did it. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we've utterly destroyed. Had good reason. I did it to sacrifice. You know, we did it just to sacrifice to the Lord. And as in verse 16, then Samuel said unto the Lord, or unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone about the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal. And notice verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, folks, he has sinned several times. He disobeyed the Lord. He's lied about it, tried to cover it up, tried to blame it on somebody else. It really wasn't my fault. And so Saul says to Samuel, verse 24, notice what Saul says. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Again, wasn't really my fault, but he confesses. He says, I did do it. I have sinned, but it really wasn't my fault. But I did sin. Now, verse 25, now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with thee, that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said unto the Lord, unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. We see here where Saul sins against the Lord. He keeps blaming it on somebody else, but then finally he admits, I did sin. I have sinned. It really wasn't my fault, but I have sinned. He confesses his sin, but nowhere do we see where he has a repentant heart. He doesn't repent of his sin. He just admits that he did it. I'm a sinner, but I'm not really sorry I did it. I had good reason to do it. I'd do it again if I had the chance. That was his attitude. You see, there was no repentance there. Now, chapter 16. David is God's choice for the new king. Chapter 16 and in verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother, anointed David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, do you notice when God called Saul to be the king, God gave him the ability to lead. God put his spirit on King Saul when he was called. But King Saul got away from the Lord. King Saul disobeyed the Lord, and we see where the Lord took his spirit off of Saul. But then we see where God chose David to be Saul's successor, and God puts his spirit on David. You see, the spirit from the Lord departed from Saul, but then the Spirit of the Lord rests upon David. Now, folks, in New Testament times, today, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit indwells the Christian, and He's with you all the way. I mean, He's with us from the point of salvation on. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. That back in the Old Testament times, it wasn't that way. The Holy Spirit would come and rest on a person for a time, but then it wasn't indwelled by the Spirit. Now we are told in Ephesians 5:8 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, folks, you and I, if we're saved by the grace of God, if we've been saved, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But just because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us does not necessarily mean we are filled with the Spirit of God. We can be indwelled by the Spirit, but not be filled with the Spirit. We can be filled with the Spirit because it's commanded that we be filled. It's possible for us to have that filling within us because it's a command of God to get it. Just as it's possible for us not to live the life of a drunkard, it's possible for us to live a spirit-filled life. Because the Lord told us to do that. You say, well, how do I get spirit filled? How can I be filled with the Spirit? Well, a good way to start might be reading our Bibles. A good way to start might be being faithful in the house of God. You know, amen. Try loving the Lord, living for God, turning away from our sin, repenting of our sin, and we're all sinners, the Bible tells us, all right? You know, Saul could have had a spirit-filled life. The Spirit of God could have remained on Saul had Saul repented. I really believe that. The Spirit of God did not have to leave Saul, but he was unwilling to repent. He didn't want to be Spirit-filled. He wanted to run his own life. He wanted to do it his way. He didn't want God telling him what to do. He wanted to reason it out and decide what he felt was best rather than submitting himself to the Lord. Now, when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you become an open prey for the devil. You just open yourself wide up for the devil to work in your life and to influence your life, to influence you, to do things that you never would have thought possible. It's a dangerous place to be when we void ourselves of the Spirit. Now, again, the Spirit indwells you. You can't kick him out, but you can push his presence away. All right, you can not allow him to really direct your life and run your life, not give him the free rein of your life. You see, if we do that, we get our lives all messed up, out of kilter, away from God, and we open ourselves up for the devil to begin to do things in our life, to begin to work in our lives in ways that we didn't think we would. Go to chapter 16 again and look at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. You see, the Lord allowed Satan to trouble Saul, allowed him to trouble him and to mess with him. And it came to the point that he got real irritated and he just didn't have that, it was kind of like in the Sunday school hour. We're talking about that abundant life. He wasn't enjoying an abundant life for sure. He was a mess, and so someone suggested, you know what, Saul, if you had somebody to play some nice music, it might help calm you down a little bit, and maybe that evil spirit would leave you alone, and you wouldn't be troubled so much.
So they found David. David came and he began to play his harp and began to be a blessing to Saul. And it tells us here, and let's look at chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 23, look at 16:23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, folks, by the way, music does affect a person. The music you listen to does affect you. This is not the message, but we notice that music will affect you physically. Saul was refreshed. The music will affect you mentally. The Bible says that Saul was made well. And spiritually, music affects you spiritually. The Bible tells us that the evil spirit departed from Saul when the good music was played. You see, bad music will influence you to do bad things. Good music will influence you to do good things and will draw the Lord into your life. Bad music will push the Spirit of God away from you. Well, anyway, the good music came. Saul was refreshed and was well and was encouraged when the music was played. Now, in chapter 17, Saul is at war with the Philistines. Goliath challenges them. You know the story of David and Goliath. Look at chapter 17 and verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. That Goliath comes along and he challenges Israel and he says, "Send me out a man to fight, and the winner will win for his whole army." And Saul was dismayed, was afraid, was powerless. I mean, the king, the great king that at one time had God's hand on him, the king was powerless, didn't know what to do. He was discouraged, dismayed, and didn't know what to do. And folks, I'll tell you, have you ever noticed that somebody that, you know, when they're away from the Lord, it doesn't take much to discourage them. It doesn't take much to get them down. But you take somebody that's spirit-filled and they're excited. They're excited about being in the house of God. They're excited about being with the Lord's people. Look at verse 20. I want to tell you, David, of course, you know the story. We can't go over all the details, but David's dad sends him out, says, "Hey, David, I want you to go check and see how your brothers are doing in the battle. Take some food to them and bring me word again, see how they're doing." Now, notice verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Hey, have you ever noticed how spirit-filled people are excited about the things of God? David's filled with the Spirit. David has the Spirit of God resting upon him. And as David got up early in the morning. I mean, that's maybe even before the sun rose. Amen? He says, "Wow, I'm going to start the day early. I'm going to go to the battle. I'm going to see how things are going." And I just got to believe that David in his mind, he's thinking, you know, Israel, we're God's people. God's got his hand on Israel, and God's a miracle working God, and I just can't wait to see what God's doing. I just can't wait to see how we're smearing the Philistines. He didn't know about Goliath. Hadn't heard about him. And he gets up early, and he runs to the battle, and he's coming up over the hill, and he's shouting for the battle, "Go get him, guys! Yes, yes!" And all of a sudden, he notices that God's people are kind of sitting back there and kind of wringing their hands and not knowing what to do. And this giant stands up and begins to defy the armies of the living God. He's saying, "What's with this?" Oh, he was excited. I mean, he was excited about the battle. And he says in verse 26, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You notice David's courage and his faith in the Lord. I mean, David is, look at verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Had a lot of courage. He says, "Yeah, I'll go. You let me at him. You let me at him. God's able to handle this giant. I'll take my sling and I'll go out there and the Lord will deliver him into my hand. He's still shouting for the battle. He's still excited. He got up early to be in the house of God, folks. I mean, he got up early to read the Bible. What I'm trying to say is he wanted to be in the battle. He wanted to be where things were happening. He wanted to be where God was working. And so excited. Saul, on the other hand, remember, the Spirit of God left Saul, departed from Saul. Saul's dismayed. Saul's discouraged, afraid, powerless. David's charged up and excited. Now the message. What happened? You see, the evil spirit is never replaced with the Holy Spirit. It never says that Saul couldn't get right with God, but he didn't. He refused to repent. Now, hey, David came, and repeatedly David played the harp, played the beautiful music, and Saul was refreshed. But Saul was never revived. He was refreshed, but he was never revived. Today, many people, hey, they come to church on Sunday morning. They hear the music. They hear the preaching. They come and they're encouraged. I mean, they come to the house of God and they're refreshed. And isn't it refreshing to be in God's house? Isn't it refreshing to hear the choir sing? Isn't it refreshing to hear the specials, to hear the ladies play the instruments, and to hear the man of God get up and encourage us from the Word of God? Oh, and to be around people that love us and that love the Lord. Man, it's refreshing to come to God's house. Amen? Hey, it's a great thing, but folks, if we don't get revived when we're here, if all we get is a refreshing, it doesn't last. All Saul got was a refreshing, and it didn't last. The evil spirit came back, and then David had to play with his harp again as he did at other times. And over we find this cycle where he's troubled with his spirit, and then David begins to play with the harp, but no revival, no real change in his life. No real change. He's never replaced that spirit. Have you ever noticed how sometimes folks that are not filled with the Holy Spirit become critical of those who are? Have you ever noticed? I mean, somebody gets excited for God like David did. You know, David comes up over the hill and he's shouting for the battle. And yes, get him, guys. You know, just can't wait to see what's going on. And yes, we're going to win. Oh, boy, I can't wait. And they're all excited about the things of God. And others say, what are you all excited about? What's with you? It's just church. What are you shouting for? What are you saying amen for? What, you know, what's with you? I remember one time I was at church service and I said amen. I was sitting at a church service listening to somebody else preach and I said amen. And the lady in front of me, she never heard that word before. It shocked her. Well, what's with you? What are you so excited about? You know, I'll tell you what. If somebody gets excited like David did, and people begin to say, what's with you? Look at verse 17, chapter 17, and verse 22. I'm sorry, chapter 17 and verse 22. Now, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren and talked with them. He was just shouting for the battle back in verse 20. And he talked with his brothers. And then the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Drop down to verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Drop down to verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I mean, today somebody gets excited for God like David did, and then they say, oh, he's too emotional. He takes his Christianity too far. Just calm down. Just go to church. Just get up. Put your suit on. Put your pretty dress on and go to church and then go home. I mean, it's just church. What do you get so excited about the Bible for and about God and about the music? And I mean, you're taking it way too far. I mean, calm down. After all, we're in the last days anyway. I mean, you know, just calm down. Hey, folks, my God's still alive. My God is still powerful. My God's just as powerful as the God that took that stone from Goliath's sling and smote the giant in the forehead. My God is still powerful. My God's still reigning. My God's still on high. Get excited for God. Shout for the battle. I mean, folks, we are on the winning side. Amen. There's something to get excited about. We got a reason to be excited. We got a reason to shout for the battle. Now, folks, a lot of people come to church. They come to church on Sunday and they hear the music and they hear the preaching and they say, boy, that's good. That's good. And they get their battery charged. They say, you know what? I think I can go a little longer now. I mean, they appease their conscience. It makes them feel real good. But come Monday morning, nothing's changed. Right back where we were. Folks, we need a revival, not a refreshing. We need a revival. Something needs to change. Coming to church ought to get our batteries charged. Amen? But then they ought to hold the charge. Your battery ought to be able to hold the charge from Monday or Sunday to Wednesday. I'm reminded of, I did some remodeling for several years. And I had a cordless tool kit. Had a little saw in there and a drill and a couple batteries and a charger. I loved that thing. I used it a lot. And there came a point where the batteries got weak. I mean, you could recharge them, but if it sat over the weekend, come Monday morning, they were just about worthless. Had to put them on a charger. As soon as you got to the job, first thing you had to do is put the batteries on the charger and get them charged up, but they wouldn't work for you. They wouldn't hold a charge. And those batteries were going bad, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do about these batteries? Oh, they're expensive. I don't know if you guys ever priced rechargeable batteries for your tools, but they almost cost as much as the tool itself. It's crazy. So I found a place to rebuild the batteries. They'd take them out of the case, take it apart, and put new parts inside, and give them new life, you know. And so I took a couple batteries and had them rebuilt. Well, see, they just didn't need a recharging. When I put them on the charger, that worked for a little while, but it'd die out. And so I had them rebuilt. And then when I put them on the charger, those batteries would last for a while. They'd do a better job. They'd drill faster. They'd cut faster. And they'd last longer. And then that battery could sit for 2 or 3 weeks. I'd pick it up and it'd still work. It's still working. You see, the charger would refresh the battery, but it wouldn't last. You know, they needed rebuilt. Folks, a lot of us Christians are that way. You know, we can come to church on Sunday and we get refreshed, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. We fizzle out. We don't hold up. I had a few batteries that I didn't take to get charged. You know, some that had gone bad and I'd replaced before, and so I didn't have all of them rebuilt. The batteries that I didn't have rebuilt. Today, they wouldn't make that girl grunt no matter how long you left it on the charger. It's totally dead, flat line. They're done. They're done for. They won't do anything. I fear that if some of you don't get revived this week, a year from now, oh, you won't be dead spiritually. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, He never leaves. You're saved. You're saved for eternity. But I fear that if some of us here today don't get revived, there might come a point where it's just kind of too late and we're done. You know Christians that don't go to church at all? A few years ago, they sat where you sat. They came and got encouraged from the Word of God. They got their batteries charged. But when they needed a revival, all they got was a refreshing. just like Saul, they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't come. They wouldn't humble themselves and come to an altar and say, God, I'm sorry. God, my life's a mess. God, I need you. I need a revival. They wouldn't admit that. Oh, I've been saved a long time. I don't need a revival. I'm okay. I'll come hear the music. I like it. I'll come hear the preaching. But I really don't need a revival. And today they're out of church. Folks, let's repent of our sin. Ask the Lord to fill us with our spirit, with His Spirit. We need a revival, not just a refreshing. Thank God we come to get a refreshing. But oh, so much better when we get a revival. Let's stand with heads bowed.